You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards right.
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello! Welcome to another episode of the Crispy Compact Communique, the shortened version of the Crispy Noodle Podcast in this weird alternate universe coronavirus timeline here in 2020. I'm Rich Liebig.
I'm Michael Costanzo.
And it is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, and odd news as quickly as we can, even though we still go about like an hour, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. But whatever, we play it by ear. It's a whole new era here in 2020. So we're just going with the flow. Thank you guys for joining us on this week's episode. We have a lot of random news to get to in the world of sports. We're already just sighing thinking about the topics we're going to cover. But before we get into all the hoopla, Mike, how you doing? What's up in your world?
I'm pretty good. My world has been busy. My parents just got a new TV. They finally upgraded from their dumb TV to a smart TV. We had a plasma television, a Panasonic plasma screen.
Was that in the living room?
The one in the living room, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So if you know anything about TV technology, you know that they haven't made plasma screens in like probably a decade. So this TV was, you know, getting up there in age, and it was big and ugly looking, and it was dumb. That was the big problem. It was a dumb TV. It didn't have any apps or any features. My parents had to use the PlayStation to watch Netflix. So I was like, guys, you know, I get a discount through work. You should, you know, spring for a new TV. And so they did. They got a new TV. And I've been spending the past couple of days setting that up, and thank you. I'm recording now.
And there you go. See, they want to thank you for the discount right on the air.
Yeah. That was my mom just walks up to me, hands me something. I'm like, thank you. I guess she couldn't tell that I was recording.
Well, yeah, this is the personal bit. We're not talking news yet,
yeah.
So that's
yeah.
Why.
This is the personal bit. So I've been spending the past week setting up the new TV. And
by the way, we should probably tell people for those that aren't familiar with our video game backgrounds, we're doing video games this week for our Zoom backgrounds.
Yeah.
Mike is supposed to be, in the Citadel for Mass Effect?
The Citadel from Mass Effect. Yeah. There one of my go. Favorite game franchises. And Rich, it looks like you're at a New Year's party. What's going on over there?
Yeah, happening. Good time under the sea. Here we are.
That's right. So yeah. you're in Rapture, circa 1959, going on 1960.
Yeah, do, and then everything goes to hell, just like 2020.
I see what you did there. You keeping it in the theme.
Right. 1959 to 2020. It's the same thing. It's great.
It's like that meme from, the one with The Office where it's like corporate wants you to pick the difference between the two, show the difference between the two pictures. And then Pam's like, they're the same picture.
Yeah.
So as well as 1959, 2020, same picture.
Works out. Perfect. Yep. Okay. So was that the end of your story, Mike?
I've been setting up the new TV and it's amazing. I'm so happy they got a new TV because it also benefits me and my video game playing. It makes the video games all look so much better. I've just been nose deep in setting up the TV and fiddling around with the settings and, you know, exploring all the different options. And I love getting new technology. So it's been a blast.
Yeah.
I nerd out over tech stuff, computers and TVs and video games. That's what I've been doing. Rich, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I've just been staying inside in air conditioning this whole week. This has been the worst case scenario. In Philadelphia, it literally has been like high 90s and 100% humidity. It has been atrocious.
You make it sound like, I mean, it is the end times, but like you take it to another level with how dramatic you are with your weather reports.
Yeah, I should be the weatherman. I'll give you.
You said this is a worst case scenario.
It is for me. I hate this weather. Like, I want to do the opposite of what old people do. You know, like, I want to be in Philly for like the fall and the winter and the beginning part of spring. But then June, July, August, I want to go to like Canada. I freaking hate this heat. It is atrocious.
So instead of being a snowbird, you're a heat bird.
Yeah. I hate it. It just, I feel like I can't do anything well. Like, I just sweat. Yeah. And I'm not even, I'm not even doing anything. And I just sweat. So it's just like, it's not a good look for me. This is not my time of the year.
No, you're absolutely right, though, about the heat. When it gets too hot, like, the brain slows down. You just feel sluggish. It's just not a good time.
Yeah.
So what you're saying, though, is that your retirement home one day will be in, like, Calgary.
Sure. Why not? It sounds fun.
I'm trying to think, where's really cold in Canada? Is Calgary cold?
I don't know. Montreal?
I don't know. Montreal. You haven't even done any research, Rick.
Yeah. I just thought Canada was cold. I thought, like, once you just cross over, it's just cold. I thought you just get a blast of cold air and a plate of poutine. And I thought that was it. That's how this goes.
You cross the border and just everything starts freezing, just starts icing over.
Yeah. You cross over, you get cold, you get a plate of poutine, and you get a hockey puck. I thought that's the tradition.
That doesn't sound so bad. That doesn't sound so bad at all.
Yeah, I thought that's how it worked, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I'm not a world traveler. There you go.
There you go, Rich. In summer, daytime temperatures in Calgary range from 50 to 75 degrees Fahrenheit.
Perfect. Perfect.
That's perfect for you.
There you go. Calgary, here we come.
but the winter drops to negative 22 degrees.
Well, at that point, I'll just come back to Philly.
You just come back to Philly. Okay, perfect. Yeah. See that? Perfect balance.
There you go. Perfect. Okay, well, speaking of getting back to things, we got to get back on track with the news at hand, and we got a lot of sports news to cover. And even if you don't like, I'm going to tell people, because we do have a segment of the audience that doesn't like sports. They go to like entertainment or odd news.
Okay.
The stories in sports this week are just out there. Like, they're just totally out there. So I'm going to encourage you, if you've never listened to our sports segment, listen to this, because we got some wacky stories. They're almost odd news qualities.
It's,
when you think about it.
It is. And they all, oddly enough, revolve around, well, the first two revolve around the unique situation we find ourselves in with the coronavirus pandemic.
Yeah.
This first one, I don't know. It's just a sign of the times. The Blue Jays.
Another Canada team.
Yeah, another Canada team. They have no home for baseball. What do you mean? What do you mean when you say they have no home for baseball?
Yes.
Aren't they supposed to be starting this weekend?
They are. So this is going to be interesting, because they're probably working around the clock to figure this out. Well, the United States as a nation is open for business. So all the American teams, A-okay. But Toronto's a Canadian city. They got to follow the protocols that are being dictated by the Canadian government. And it came out this week that the Canadian government denied the Toronto Blue Jays from playing at their home stadium in Toronto. And then just when you think you couldn't add more insult to injury, They were trying to play their home games in Pittsburgh, and that's when our glorious state, Pennsylvania, also issued a denial to the Toronto Blue Jays. So as of the time of this recording, there is no definite plan in place for the Toronto Blue Jays to play their home games. The latest rumor I heard going into this broadcast tonight is that Baltimore might be looking to be the next suitable option. But again, that's not in stone yet.
Baltimore has a team, though, don't they?
Yeah.
So doesn't that exacerbate problems in Baltimore then, with trying to juggle two professional sports teams during a pandemic?
Yeah, but then the Orioles can collect money from the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Baltimore Orioles need all the money that they can get because they finished in last place for like the last 10 seasons.
Oh my God. This is what I mean. Sports, you know, my stance has always been sports is not going to happen. And this is just a prime example. Like, what happens when other states start barring teams, if they start barring teams from playing there or traveling there?
Well, really, the key thing was this is Canada. Canada. Yeah.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh also said get out of town.
Pennsylvania did. So our great state of Pennsylvania, take that. We don't want your Canadian baseball crap. Get out of here.
Canadian baseball crap.
Yeah. But no, I do feel sorry for the Toronto Blue Jays as a team, because it does seem like they're the only team that has to deal with something like this. It's kind of an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I mean, it is. The fact that they basically have to go on the road every single week, which, again, I think complicates matters in terms of keeping players healthy. But apparently MLB doesn't care.
Oh, so. No. They're trying to put together a season. They want things to happen. So, no, they're going to be fine. They're going to roll ahead with this 60 game season, and we'll see how it plays out. But I think baseball is going to truck this along and finish out a season.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. It just. It's weird how these sports leagues are handling this situation, and proof of that even further is how the NFL is handling what's going on there. It leads us into our next topic. The NFL preseason, for anybody who was excited to get football underway in August, that's not happening anymore.
Nope.
Because the NFL and the NFL Players Association have agreed to hold no preseason games. Preseason's not happening at all. It's probably for the best. Nobody liked the preseason anyway, least of all the players.
Depending on which players.
Well, that's true. It does give bubble guys a disadvantage, because that was their shot to make, special teams or to get, that final roster spot, whatever it may be. And now they just don't have that opportunity. It really puts, and I think, and this goes for all sports this season, I think it lessens the product that they're putting out there on the field, especially football, because as we both know, being huge football fans, there's a steep learning curve in the NFL and in getting back up to game speed. You don't go from not running full tilt into other human beings to running full tilt into other human beings and doing it gracefully. As much as everybody dislikes the preseason, it was always necessary to get people to, quote unquote, knock the rust off. Now they're not going to have that opportunity. So going into week one, if there is a week one, it's going to be sloppy. It's going to be confusing. It's going to be, it might be like slow and sluggish. It's going to look like preseason games, weeks one through three or four.
Yeah, week one, any team that has a new coach or a new quarterback is going to be – They're going to have a steep learning curve going into week one.
Yeah.
It's almost going to be an unfair advantage there. Because there's a lot of teams that either have a new head coach or a new quarterback, and you're going to have to work out the problems internally during an actual season game now that's on the line.
Yeah. And that's a great point, is the preseason's also a way for coaches and teams to iron out those issues and test new game play philosophies and game plan. And now they don't have that. Everything is going to be on the fly, learning the job as they go along. And for veteran teams like the Eagles, it'll probably be a little bit easier. For younger teams or teams, like you said, with new head coaches and new quarterbacks, it's going to be really, really rough. But I am still in the camp that it's not going to happen. Because they went from they're not going to delay anything to cutting two preseason games to cutting all the preseason games. Meanwhile, back in reality, the pandemic isn't slowing down. And then as you head into the fall, you head into flu season as well. And football being a contact sport, there's some players that don't feel comfortable playing a contact sport. They've said, how are, you know, you can't wear a face mask while you're playing football. So how do you prevent, you know, droplets and people breathing and spitting and, you know, on each other as they're tackling each other? You know, there's no way to maintain distance if you're playing on the offensive or defensive line. You know, it's an inherently problematic sport to play during a viral pandemic.
Yeah, football is not conducive to the coronavirus.
Baseball's the best one. Football's the worst one by far.
You're forgetting golf.
I stand corrected. Golf is the best sport to play during a pandemic because nobody else wants to play it. So you're on the field by yourself.
And there's yards and yards and yards and yards to keep players apart.
That's true.
Yeah. But
they don't have that in football.
No, unfortunately for football fans, this might be the time you push the panic button because I thought they would at least want to keep one preseason game to you know, take all the problems out of, you know, any sort of communication issues between coaches, head coaching and players, to get the players up to speed for those bubble players. You want to at least get some sort of film on those players that are on the bubble or about to be cut on that, you know, cusp of being that 50th, 51st, 52nd, 53rd player on the team.
Yeah.
But the NFL and the NFLPA have agreed to not hold any preseason games, which is huge for them. I agree, Mike. I think this might be the sign that I don't know if there's going to be a football season. This is a pretty stark sign.
Yeah. I mean, I made my peace with it, but it's not unexpected, but it's still kind of shocking that it actually happened, you know?
Yeah. And on a further note too, a lot of the college football conferences are either outright canceling or either postponing the season. It's still kind of canceling or saying that games must be played in conference only. So
yeah,
the chips are tumbling and
they're tumbling fast.
Yeah.
And I think as things continue to worsen in the country, they're only going to continue to tumble fast and faster. Yeah. I hate to sound so doom and gloom, but it's just the nature of things this year, you know? Yeah.
I mean, if you want to get on the positive side, baseball is definitely coming back this weekend. Basketball is on track. As far as we know, they're on track to come back.
Is baseball the first sport to come back to regular season play?
Yes, because they're playing. Actually, there's a game happening tonight for the regular season.
Oh, okay.
So yeah,
it'll be a good metric to see how things work out, you know.
Yeah, but unfortunately for football, I don't know. This is a tough spot to be in for a football fan.
Yeah, it is. Boy, and you know what else? It's especially tough if you're. Fan that happens.
I gave it to you. There you go, Mike. Run with it.
If you happen to be a fan of the team that who resides in Washington, D.C., the reason I refer to that team in such a way is because they've officially changed their name from the Washington football team to the Washington football team. That's right.
Yeah.
The team formerly known as the Redskins have decided to go with the Washington football team.
Yeah. Woo.
Yay. It's
this logic. I gotta say something.
Go ahead.
This logic is akin to my old 1998 NFL quarterback club Nintendo 64 cartridge when you would create a team and literally the announcer would replace your team name with just the home team. Yeah, so yeah. You would play the game and it'd be like the Green Bay Packers face the home team.
Yeah.
That could have done a better job than what Dan Snyder and the Redskins came up with.
Yeah. You know what annoys me so much is that they announced the name change back in early July. It's been almost a month.
You had time.
Not only that, but people have been criticizing the name for decades. You would think that somewhere in the organization, they had a Word document that just says, in case we are forced to be not racist, these are the names we should go with.
Break glass if we get accused of being racist.
Like, right. There's no plan B. There's nothing. They were not prepared at all for this, even though it's been a month. And, you know, people have been criticizing them on the name for years and years and years. And there's so many options to go with. You have, I heard online, the Washington Warriors, the Washington Sentinels, the Washington Defenders, you know, something military themed, something, you know, U.S. themed. And they're just like, it's just shrug. Oh, I don't know. Where are we playing? Washington. What are we? A football team. There you go. Washington football team.
Slap it together. That's not offensive.
That's not offensive.
That was probably the meeting.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's like, let's come up with the least offensive thing possible. They were this close to just going with just football team. They're like, no, that's too generic. We need something else in there.
Yeah. We have to at least stick Washington somewhere.
Yeah. So this announcement clearly got everybody annoyed, got everybody, commenting online about it. It's a debacle. It's one debacle after another.
Yeah.
For the Washington football team.
Yeah. It's almost like Dan Snyder is almost now treating this as like a silly game now, you know, because he was the one that was so adamant that the Redskins name would never be changed. Now that he's being forced to change the name, he's dragging his feet so much, and now he's making a mockery out of it.
You know what's funny is my dad said the same thing. He's like, this is just to stick it to everyone. At first I was like, no, because they want to make money. They're a billion-dollar organization. They want to sell cups and T-shirts and flags and bumper stickers. But now that I'm thinking more about it in terms of Dan Snyder and the report that came out last week about how that organization runs, maybe they're like, you know what? We can stand to lose the money, because I was thinking of it from a logical perspective. My fault was I was trying to apply logic and reasoning to the Washington football team.
Right. That's your flaw. This is the Washington football team. They are not other NFL football teams. They do not use logic. They do not use tried and true tactics. They do not use PR. They just...
Oh, that's abundantly clear the past few weeks.
Yes. So, no, that was... No, this is definitely Dan Snyder and his group just dragging their feet and making a mockery out of the whole process. And you know what? Go ahead. You know, Washington football team.
It only damages their brand, though. Like, they think they're making a mockery of it, but at the end of the day, you know, it's only making them look ridiculous, unless they're planning to sell merchandise that says Washington football team and then resell that merchandise with the new name and logo on it, you know, 3 weeks later, maybe. Maybe it's a gambit to try and get people to buy double the merchandise.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All the merchandise this season will have Washington football team. And then in 2021, we'll have the new team name.
Yeah. Well, because everybody just, you know, think about everybody that just bought like Dwayne Haskins Redskins jerseys. You know, now they got to buy a Dwayne Haskins Washington football team jersey. Yep. And they got to buy a Dwayne Haskins Washington, whatever the F they want to call themselves, jerseys. You know, so they're triple dipping. They're not even double dipping. They're triple dipping. Those bastards.
This is so prevalent, by the way, that Madden 21 is going to the digital copy of the game will be changed to have the Washington football team as the official name title.
Nice.
But apparently the discs have already been made. So if you're getting Madden 21 on a disc, sorry, it's still going to be racist.
Sorry, your game is racist. Well, can't they update it with a patch, though, I guess?
I guess they can, but they're telling people to be warned if they're buying the disc copy. They'll say Redskins.
Before it gets updated, it's still going to be gotcha.
Yeah. But if you bought the digital version, you're A-OK. You're going to be caught up to the loop with the The Washington football team.
The Washington football team. No, I want Madden to go back to the home team and the away team.
Yeah, that was NFL quarterback club 98. Yeah. Yeah, it was hilarious. You would create your own team and the announcer would just replace it with the home team. That's a generic.
That's what the Washington football team should get. They don't deserve to have a team name.
At this rate, for them not having a name picked out after a month of deliberation, yeah, they should forfeit the right to have a team name.
Because what else are they doing?
Yeah.
There's no training camp. There's no OTAs. There's been no preseason, no offseason. What are you doing other than sitting in a boardroom coming up with names? I understand that you got to get a logo created. You got to get the branding and PR spun up. But, like, it's been 3 weeks. What are you doing?
Yeah. So unfortunately, yeah, if you're a Washington fan, the troubles keep on coming for you. I don't know why you're still a Washington football team fan. Just switch.
Just give it up. Just switch.
There's 31 other teams. Come on.
Look, Washington is close enough that you could go with either the Eagles or the Ravens. Pick one of the birds and be done with it.
Yeah, come on. Rip the Band-Aid off.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
It's time.
I love how we're like trying to like convince one of our in-division rival fan groups to just switch sides.
Yeah. Why? Yeah. There's no positive aspect to being a Washington Redskins fan right now. Or excuse me, Washington football team fan. That doesn't even sound right. Try saying that like casually off the tongue. It doesn't
sound Washington football team.
Oh, Washington football team fans.
They're exactly one letter swap away from being called the WTFs.
There you go. Yeah.
Perfect. Right.
Yeah. Instead of WTF, WFT. That should be their abbreviation in
whiffed. They whiffed on this.
That should be the abbreviation in the corner when they have the score, you know?
What else would it be?
It shouldn't be WASH. It shouldn't be WAS. It shouldn't
WFT.
Be
WFT.
Uh-uh. It should be WFT. Yeah. Whiffed.
They whiffed on it.
There you go. Okay. So we went over the downside. We went over the worst case scenario of rebranding your team. How about we turn it the complete opposite way and let's go with the best case scenario of how you could name a team. And this is a story I love. This came out this morning. Hockey is doing well enough that they are expanding into a 32nd team. And that team was awarded to Seattle, which I feel good about. Seattle has been getting the short end of the stick when it comes to sports franchises, when they lost the Seattle Supersonics in that crazy deal to Oklahoma City. So instead, now they get gifted a NHL hockey franchise. And there were, you know, a lot of people were saying, you know, what they should be named and everything. And then kind of organically on the internet, people started to say, how about the Kraken? That would be a great team name. And it was kind of viewed as a joke. But then it caught steam with the hashtag release the Kraken. And this campaign movement grew and grew and grew. And folks, I am happy to say that the 32nd NHL team starting in 2021 will be the Seattle Kraken. It is official.
That is an awesome name.
Yes.
Pleased. If I didn't live in the Philadelphia area, I would totally go for the Seattle Kraken.
Well, you can.
I'm considering changing teams.
You can. They're the Western Conference.
Then there you go. They're my second. They're my second hockey team.
They're your Western Conference team. You can. There's nothing wrong with that.
I don't even like hockey. This should just be my primary team.
You Philly, you got to stick with the Philadelphia Alliance. But unless the Kraken and the Flyers meet in the Stanley Cup Finals. Go ahead, root for the Kraken.
I am. That is one of the coolest team names in all of sports.
Yes. I don't know if this is going to show up, but here is the new logo.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I like it.
And if you notice, there's an I at the top of the S.
Yeah.
Can you see that?
Yeah.
So I want to point this out, and I'm so glad we're doing this in a visual format, because when they announced, they had a press, you know, press conference going over the details of the, you know, the branding, the colors, the logo, all right, that fun stuff. They specifically had a segment where they go over that red eye in the S.
Okay.
They say that that red eye, and this is in the the press release that all the reporters got. This is the eye of the beast. If you see this eye, it's already too late. The eye of the Kraken has been affixed on its prey. Its strike will be swift and devastating. It will be all over soon. I love the fact. Wow. I love the fact that this marketing team is just running with it.
You know, hockey marketing teams are great, because remember when the Flyers introduced Gritty?
Yeah.
And they were like, he lives under the stadium and he eats, and he, like, they had,
and
this,
he's
like,
from Delco.
Yeah. They had like this weird like backstory for Gritty. And I was like, what is happening? And then the Kraken PR team, they're like, yeah, he's going to, the Kraken, the beast is going to get you. And it's already too late. Like, they get really, you would never see anything like that from like the Eagles or the Patriots, you know?
Yeah.
It's like so generic in football.
Yeah.
Same thing with baseball, but hockey, they just do not care. They're just like, you know, they crank it to 11, 110.
Yeah.
They want to do.
Yeah. So on the flip side of the Redskins debacle, I want to give props to the Seattle hockey organization that they're running with Kraken. This is fantastic. I might even get a jersey. This is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah, depending on how the jerseys look, I mean, they could be pretty cool.
Yeah. So there you go. That is how you brand a team, not the way
the Washington football team.
Not the way you did it, Mr. Snyder. Please just leave.
You should just absolve the Washington football team.
Someone should just take it over. Like it should almost be like the guy from what was it, the Clippers? I forget now off the top of my head. Like literally, just force him to sell the team, like sell his stake in the team. Like literally, everything he's done is just wrong, and just you're not a good owner. Just stop it.
No.
Stick out. Bad. Bad Dan Snyder.
The month of July has shown us how terrible that organization is.
Yeah. So there you go. That is how you properly brand your sports team. Okay. So now with all those crazy sports stories out of the way, let's move into entertainment. Mike, what do you have for entertainment this week?
Well, in entertainment, it's more of releases being affected by the coronavirus pandemic. That's just the theme for shows in general nowadays. It's sports delayed, entertainment delayed. In this case, one of the biggest film studios, Disney, have made sweeping changes to their release schedule. So they have, they basically pushed back everything.
That sounds about right.
So all of the Avatar sequels, all of the Star Wars sequels have been delayed an entire year already. Now, these were films that were planned out into late 2020s, you know? So they're just taking their entire release schedule and just shifting it back an entire year. I think that they are prepared to not release any films this year, because they've also removed any sort of release date from Mulan, the live action Mulan movie that was supposed to come out back in March. They just quote unquote undated it. They're like, yeah, they just threw up a question mark. This comes on the heels of Christopher Nolan also delaying Tenet again for like the fourth time. Remember we said that they were playing this game of chicken, Mulan and Tenet, to see which movie would release first. And they kept delaying. And now they're both just question marks. What do you think about this, Rich? Everything getting pushed back an entire year. How do you feel about Star Wars getting pushed back an entire year? I think they're now, what, 2025, 20, I can't remember the exact years. But what do you think? Good move, bad move, indifferent move?
It's, well, first off, it's
necessary move.
Yeah, it's a necessary move. We still don't know, you know, everything with the coronavirus. And again, a movie theater is one of the worst things you can do in the coronavirus era. So it makes sense that all these movies got delayed. I can't speak about any of the other Disney properties. I'm not familiar with them, but Star Wars is a very dramatic and interesting thing to follow. There's rumors going around on the back end that Kathleen Kennedy is going to get leave Lucasfilm when her contract expires, and there's a lot of debate, a lot of crazy rumors being swirled around as to who's going to take over Lucasfilm when her contract ends. The rumors are abound and plentiful. I mean, literally, yeah. Name anybody that's even remotely associated with Star Wars, and I can probably Google a news source that says that they're in talks to be it. It's ridiculous. It ranges from Ryan Johnson to George Lucas coming back, which I don't think is going to happen.
Let's not do that.
To Jon Favreau because of his success with The Mandalorian. So literally, it's that discussion for the Star Wars argument is just adding more fuel to the fire. It's just it's crazy on that end.
Yeah.
But for the other Disney properties, yeah, it makes sense. The Mulan movie makes sense. But I don't think it's out of the question or anything, but for the Star Wars frenzy, it's definitely adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah. I was going to say that touches on one of the things that I wanted to bring up in that, there isn't any sort of direction for this next trilogy. They're delaying films that they don't have scripts for, that they don't have directors or actors or anything for. So in a way, I think this actually benefits them, gives them a chance to figure it out, because it was supposed to be, 2022 was the next Star Wars movie was supposed to come out. And I'm thinking to myself, 2 years, I don't think that's happening when you don't have a script or a director or direction for this.
No, it's not happening.
So now it's 2023, 2025, and 2027. I kind of think that this works in Disney's favor for the Star Wars trilogy. It gives it a little bit more distance from Rise of Skywalker. Gives them a chance to figure out what they're doing after the Game of Thrones creators, you know, dropped off of the project.
And who's going to take over for the Lucasfilm division?
Yeah, so they have a lot of questions with the Star Wars property that are unrelated to delaying it because of the pandemic. So I actually think that benefits them. As for all the other properties, it's just interesting now that everything is getting shifted back an entire year. And I've been noticing this recently that in the beginning of the pandemic, there were movies hitting on-demand services that were missing their release window. But since that March time period, there's been like no new movies coming out on demand because there's been no movies in theaters.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder if we're going to head into this because, as you know, Christopher Nolan desperately does not want to release Tenet video on demand, you know? And that was like that and Mulan were the two big blockbusters that were constantly, you know, leapfrogging each other to delay, you know, to be the second one, you know, to let the other one go first to see what would happen. As now the blockbuster season is, you know, heading into its decline as we exit July and start to head towards August, there might be a period of time where there's just like no new content in terms of TV or movies this fall. And I don't mean in theaters, I mean in general.
Yeah. I mean, literally, there's a lot of projects that had to be postponed or shelved. So that could be a real case scenario.
I know you don't follow The Walking Dead anymore, but The Walking Dead, no, this is really interesting. The Walking Dead ran into a very ridiculous situation in which they had showed all of the episodes for, I think it's season 10, except for the finale, because they needed to do some last minute filming and editing. And so that was right before the Super Bowl, I think. And they were going to show the finale, you know, after they finished shooting and filming it. But then we know with everything that happened, they didn't get a chance to do it. So people have been waiting since February for the final episode to this latest season of The Walking Dead. It's just those little interesting things that have caused. Yeah.
I'm glad I dropped off The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
I would be really pissed off if I had to wait for the season finale.
I've been waiting like 5 months. I mean, I know what happens because I read the comics, but still it's like, it's situations like that. Like, what is the fall television season going to look like? As you know, I'm sure they haven't been able to get together to edit things or to do reshoots or.
Well, I mean, to go into my area of expertise, game shows, look at Jeopardy. They're going back. They're re-airing classic Vault episodes because they're currently out of new episodes. I mean, right now they're going to start filming again with Trebek, I think in the next week or two.
I was going to say game shows are the one type of television that you could probably film safely during a pandemic.
Yeah, you don't.
Because actors don't need to interact. You don't need to have, I assume, as large a crew as you do for a scripted television show.
Yeah, and you don't need an audience. It's nice to have an audience to get reactions and stuff, but you don't need an audience.
Right.
So probably when they do start filming the new episodes, there probably won't be an audience for any of these shows. But it has been interesting that Jeopardy kind of had to like do this weird tactic of going into the vault, the Jeopardy vault, and re-airing these classic shows with Alex Trebek in the 80s, which is hilarious. Because, by the way, just a little fun note, if you're bored, Google Alex Trebek cursing. You'll have some fun with that.
Okay, I'll have to do that.
Yeah, he's actually a pretty...
prolific cursor?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem it.
Right.
But yeah.
So there you go. Nice entertainment news there. All right, so we've done the sports. We're done the entertainment. It's time for the last news topic at hand. We got to do some odd news. We can't have an episode without some actual odd news, not the incidental odd news in the sports. So this story, we're going to Michigan.
Okay, there you go, Michigan.
Yeah, Michigan. How you guys doing in Michigan?
How you guys doing in Michigan? You know. Well, you know what's funny about Michigan? You just took a sip of your beer. That's one of our promos, the Michigan beer thing.
Yeah.
Remember that from way back in the day?
Yeah, Michigan beer thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great promo.
Yeah.
That's on our SoundCloud page if you guys want to head over there and re-listen to that classic. Okay. So here we go. We're going to Michigan in this story. I love dumb stories. This is a dumb story. A Michigan woman who wanted her ex-husband murdered actually went to the website rentahitman.com and applied.
Oh, man. rentahitman.com.
Yeah. How do I kill my husband?
You know, I'm not going to Google that.
www.rentahitman.com. Well, obviously, if that sounds fake, it is of course fake. As a matter of fact, it is actually a hidden website run by investigators.
Ooh,
yeah.
I'm really glad I didn't Google that right then.
So, according to investigators, 51-year-old Wendy Ween.
Oh man,
what a name. Don't you love these names? They get weirder and weirder.
They do get weird. It's like people that have weird names are required to be in the Odd News. Like it's like when they're born, they sign the birth certificate and they also give them like the Odd News handbook. They're like, this is, you know, this is what you have to look forward to later in life.
Yeah.
It's required. It's part of the contract.
Yeah.
Wendy Ween.
Wendy Ween. Yeah. What a name.
I normally like alliteration, but I do not like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about. It just doesn't sound right.
That's a weird last name. Ween.
Is it W-E-E-N?
Yeah. W-E-E-N. Yeah. W-E-E-N. Yeah. Ween.
Ween.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird.
So Wendy Ween filled out a service request form on the website rentahitman.com.
Did she really think it was going to be that simple?
Well, I mean, you know, in this era of the coronavirus, you have food being delivered to your house. You've got laundry being delivered to your house. I'm sure you can just get a hitman delivered.
Instead of Uber and Uber Eats, it's Uber Murders.
Yeah, sure. Uber Hitman.
Uber Hitman. Uber Hits.
The website has on its about page, quote, that rentahitman.com is your point and click solution.
Oh my God.
The website claims that its database has 17,985 hidden field operatives.
That's a very specific number.
Yeah. See, they were trying to get you on the details.
Yeah, but like normally websites just round up. You know, normally like, oh, we have 17,000 plus, you know, whatever candidates. Yeah. They don't give you an exact number down to the single digits.
Yeah. The website also says that, do not worry. You will be compliant with provisions of the 1964 Hitman Information Privacy and Protection Act.
What? Oh my God. These investigators had so much fun making this website.
Yeah. So
I'm assuming that's also not real.
Yeah, that can't. Yeah.
What was that? The 1964. Give it to me again.
The 1964 Hitman Information Privacy and Protection Act.
I'm going to look it up.
I think it's supposed to be a play on HIPAA health, the Health Information Privacy and Protection Act.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Yeah. God. And then a blog post on the website says that, folks, we are still open during the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, I mean, that's the one profession where they, you know, they can still do their job because they typically don't get within 6 feet. You know, they got a sniper rifle. They're taking them out from a distance, social distancing, you know, being a hitman during the pandemic. If you're looking for work, that's a terrible recommendation. Don't listen to me.
We here at rentahitman.com have told all of our secret field operatives that they must enforce social distancing, even in the field of work. They must stay 6 feet away from the victim, from the targets.
I'm glad they're taking those precautions.
They must wash their hands after every job.
You should wash your hands after committing murder anyway.
They have to wear masks. They got to hide their identity.
See what I mean? It's the perfect job during a pandemic.
There you go.
So everybody out there, become hitmen.
There you go. That number is going to climb. The 17,985 hidden field operatives.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to climb up soon. Okay, so back to Wendy Ween. She submitted to the website a form that identified her and her former spouse as the intended victim. That's when Michigan State Police then contacted her for follow-up. So there you go. This is actually like, you know, like customer management here. Oh, yeah. I see you've placed a service request.
Oh my God. That's great customer service, though. If only actual customer service worked that well.
Yeah. They're following up. They're
following up. Yeah.
We got places. We got people to hit, places to go. Come on.
People to hit.
You serious about this or not?
Oh, my God.
That's when they negotiated a place where the two would meet. then an undercover trooper, then met Wendy Wien in a parking lot in South Rockwood, which is 25 miles south of Detroit. That's when Wendy Wien said that she had $5,000 to fulfill the job contract.
That's pretty cheap for a hitman, don't you think? $5,000?
In cash?
It's weird to have it in cash, but in total, I mean, $5,000.
Oh, you're saying that doesn't sound that much to kill somebody?
Right? Yeah.
I don't know. I think that's pretty risky, carrying $5,000 in cash.
Oh, yeah.
And just handing it over to somebody and be like, yeah. I trust you're going to fulfill the job.
Right. No, you got to do the half now, half when the job is done. Haven't they ever watched any sort of movies or TV shows?
I don't know. Come She's on. Googling how to find a hitman.
That's also true.
Yeah. I don't think she's the smartest of criminals here.
Yeah. If you can find something like that through Google, it's probably not what you're looking for.
That's not the dark web.
No. Yeah, just because your color palette in Google Chrome is like dark doesn't make it the dark web.
Yeah. That's not
I'm using night mode. It's the dark web.
That's not how the internet works.
No, that's not how this works.
Come on.
How any of this works.
Wendy, you need to take an IT class or something. It's not how this works.
Oh man.
When she handed over the $5,000, that's when she was arrested and charged with murder, solicitation, and also using a computer to commit a crime. Apparently that's a separate charge.
That's a separate charge?
Hmm. Yeah. But I think murder's the big one. That's just icing on the cake.
So if you beat somebody to death with a laptop, do you get murder and using a computer to commit a crime?
I guess so.
I'm just curious.
I get you are using the computer as a crime to commit a crime. She was booked on $500,000 bond. So I don't think she'll be getting out anytime soon.
No.
By the way, there's her mugshot. If you want to, there it is. It's working again. She's there. she's at Rapture. There you go.
Is that how we're going to end every show now? With you show in the Andes, you showing an image of the perp and then having it interact with the virtual background? I mean, I don't have any problems with that.
I mean, if it works, I don't see what the problem is. There you go.
Oh, now it's not going to do it.
Working. Oh, maybe I got to put her on this. I don't know. So sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Now it went off. Well, that was her. That was Wendy
that
Wien.
That was her.
That was good old Wendy Wien. Sorry, Wendy.
Good old Wendy Wien. I hate the name. I hate the fact that she thought she could rent a hitman from just Googling rent a hitman.
Yeah, rentahitman.com.
Rentahitman.com.
Your newest service during the coronavirus.
And she thought it was as cheap as $5,000. I feel like it should be way more expensive to have somebody killed. $5,000?
How much?
At least 10.
Oh, right? that's only $5,000 more.
That's double, Rich.
Yeah. $10,000.
What do you think? What do you think? What do you think a human life is worth?
Well, here's what I think it comes down to how you want the person killed. Because then you have then you've got tiered options.
Well, no, that's true. It's how clean a job do you want? Do you want somebody to storm in there with a shotgun? Or do you want it like, you know, the Hitman video game where you're like poisoning their coffee
right.
and like sneaking around, you know, because
do you want Nicky Santoro from Casino or do you want Hitman?
Yeah.
Are you looking for Joe Pesci or, you know, classic, you know,
or like an assassin,
stealth assassin. Yeah.
So what is the lowest tier in your pricing system?
Well, like, no, it would have to be the Pesci tier because that's literally just up to a guy just paying.
And what does Joe Pesci cost?
That's $7,500.
$7,500? Okay.
But see, I'm being realistic here. You gotta have a tiered system.
Right. It can't just be $5,000 or $10,000, just a flat rate. You're right. Because there's expenses, gas, and food for stakeouts, and you know, there's a whole bunch of other
things that go into the cost of getting someone killed.
Yeah.
So what's the very high end, like the premium service that, that you're offering?
Yeah. Hitman 47. That sounds about right.
And what does that cost in your pricing scale?
Yeah. 100,000. I don't know.
100,000. You're just making stuff up.
You know, what's really scary is like, you got to think about this, like for like millionaires, like that's nothing to like a multimillionaire. All right, sure.
You just created like at least 107 new conspiracy theories for people online.
Whoops.
Whoops. I mean, those conspiracy theories probably already existed.
Yeah. I've been watching too many BuzzFeed Unsolved episodes.
Oh man, they're so good. I'm still watching them.
Yeah, they are very good. But unfortunately, yeah, you think everything's a conspiracy afterwards.
Yeah, everything is just solved by aliens or
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're not on the other end of the spectrum where you think you can kill somebody by Googling those services. So, Wendy, sorry, we can't defend you on this one.
I want to be somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So, with the odd news story out of the way, we have one last segment left. It's time for apocalypse activities. We want to give you some recommendations, things that you should do or watch or something to keep an eye out for in this upcoming week. Mike, what's your apocalypse activity for people?
Well, because I'm taking a break from The Last of Us 2 as I wait for my girlfriend to return from Tennessee so we can continue playing that, I picked up Sony's latest exclusive Ghost of Tsushima. It is an open world action RPG set in samurai era Japan. And you are a young samurai who wants to or needs to protect his island home from the invading Mongols. And I'm very, very early into it, like maybe an hour. But Sony just has this knack for creating amazing exclusive new IPs. I mean, they got Sucker Punch, who did the Infamous games, which you're familiar with.
Yeah, Infamous was a good series of video games.
Yeah, and instead of doing, you know, another superhero game, they decided to go in a completely different direction, and they're doing the samurai game. And it's really, really cool so far. And it's beautiful. The sound is great. I'm just so impressed with, like, the little details and touches that they put in the game. And this is like Sony's hallmark with all their exclusives. Like, it's so well thought out. So in a lot of the feature that I think is really cool is that in a lot of games you have like a little mini map or like giant arrows or like a line on the ground that shows you where to go. In Ghost of Tsushima, you follow the wind to your objectives. So you put a marker on your map and then the wind will blow in that direction and you follow the wind. And it's just, it's, you know, playing on those Japanese vibes of, you know, being in touch with nature, being in touch with your surroundings, more tranquil, more, you know, peaceful, you know, the way of the samurai type stuff. It also has a Kurosawa mode, which does the game in film grained black and white with Japanese audio and English subtitles. And I was like, this is so cool. It's done like exactly like old samurai movies and TV shows.
Wow.
That attention to detail is so, so cool that they thought through all that. And if you don't want to play in black and white, they just have a regular Japanese audio track with English subtitles. If you want to, you know, play, you know, a samurai themed game in the Japanese language. I don't know if it's up your alley because there's some stealth gameplay, obviously Ghost of Tsushima Assassin, but you can also go into enemy encampments and you'll appreciate this. You can have a standoff with them. You walk in the front door and you go, I, come and face me in an honorable samurai duel, you know? And then you can just go in sword swinging and the sword version of guns blazing. So you can either go assassin route or you can go the honorable samurai route where you have to face every enemy head on, you know, and in a one-on-one samurai sword fight.
So I like the fact that it gives, you know, a couple different ways to approach combat, stealth or the honorable way. Mm-hmm. So right,
there you go. New video game recommendation from Mike.
Yeah. What have you been doing?
So I was busy updating my HBO account.
Okay.
Because fun fact, if you have HBO through a cable provider, HBO Go is going to be off everything. That's going to be stricken from the record. And HBO is giving that those people that have HBO through a cable provider access to HBO Max. So yep. I took advantage of that and I played around HBO Max. Did nice. You know that HBO Max has an agreement with Turner Classic Movies?
I did not know that.
Yeah. So if you go in your HBO Max app, there's a section that lists all the properties that HBO Max is associated with. Some of it's also DC Comics. Adult Swim is on there too. But if you go, you can see Turner Classic Movies has a section. And if you go through there, there's a pretty good collection of great classic movies in there. Mm. Casablanca, Falcon, Citizen Kane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, there's some solid selection.
Heavy hitters, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're looking for like a classic movie night, this is your option to do it. And I bet you a lot of people probably, you know, probably one or two or three or four or five of these movies maybe slipped through the cracks in your movie resume. It's time to fix it. These are some movies that everyone should see, you know, at least once to have on their film resume.
Yeah.
So definitely I highly recommend if you have HBO Max, go to the section where it links you to Turner Classic Movies. And then right then and there, you can go and check out the catalog. There's a lot of great classic movies in there.
Nice. And, you know, that's great for me because, you know, I get HBO Max now too, because I had HBO through Comcast. And I'm missing some of those movies on my film resume. So I definitely should jump on that and check them out. That's an awesome feature that they have. Yeah, I was exploring HBO Max as well. I was impressed that they had a lot of non-HBO properties on there.
Yeah.
You know, like you mentioned, they have those partnerships with like Adult Swim and Turner Classic Movie and
DC's on there.
DC. Yeah. There was a few more.
Yeah.
I remember seeing some shows. I was like, oh, I didn't realize, you know, HBO had that. And I was impressed. So yeah, definitely. I want to dive back in there and see what else HBO Max has.
Yep.
I don't know if I would recommend paying for HBO Max. If you get HBO already, you get it for free. But yeah, I don't know how it works because is HBO Now still a thing?
So HBO Go is off the record. HBO Now is going to be the standalone. If you just want.
So that's just HBO. And then HBO right. Max has all the original content and
has the associations with Turner Classic Movies and DC Comics and all that fun stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Basically HBO Now is like HBO Lite.
Yeah. HBO didn't do a good job of delineating all their different services.
No, but they're starting to focus it better.
Yeah, I think
now there's only going to be two. So that's good.
Getting rid of HBO Go was a step in the right direction because, yeah, for a while there was like, well, wait, I have HBO through my cable, but there's also HBO Go, which I get with the cable. Then there's HBO Now, which is standalone, and now there's HBO Max. And people were like, what is happening?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they did streamline it, but now it's a matter of educating people. Like, I didn't realize that I got HBO Max until when I was setting up the new TV. You know, I go to download HBO Go as one of the apps and they're like, oh, this won't work after July 31st. And I was like, that's curious. And then I also noticed they had an app for HBO Max. And I was like, oh. And so through sheer dumb luck, I found out that I get HBO Max for free through Comcast. So,
yep. So there you go. I'm happy with it. I think HBO did the right thing here, and I encourage if you have access to it, go check it out, especially that section for Turner Classic Movies. There's some good ones on there. I was surprised. So if you've missed a couple of those classic movies from the 40s, 50s, and 60s, you have no excuse now. It's right there. All right. So with those recommendations now placed to you, it is time to start to wrap up this episode of the Crispy Compact Communique. Thank you guys for tuning in to another crazy episode. If you like what you heard, make sure you go to our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure that you're following us on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun shebang.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. And if you're not watching the video version of this podcast, you're listening to the audio version. You can still get those every week by subscribing to the feed on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcast, or Stitcher. You get the latest episode downloaded for free. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right. We also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles that we referenced with the Michigan beer thing.
That's right.
Just a handy little audio collection of some of our best bits from the show. Definitely check it out.
Yep. So many ways to get in touch with and share the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter to share, you know, any questions or stories that you might have for sports, entertainment, or odd news, you can find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening, or on Instagram or one of the social media platforms. And if you have a story or a topic you want us to talk about, let us know, and we'll give you a shout out on the following episode. But for right now, we got to wrap this one up. Thank you guys for tuning in. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. Mike, anything else?
No, that's it for me. Another good episode in the books.
All right. And yes, I made it through a whole episode without referencing my ghost shirt.
Except for right there.
Yep. So with that in mind, that is it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later. Bye-bye.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
I'm Barbara Waters, and this has been the Crispy Noodle 2020.